Hello, welcome back to THC. I'm Kimmy.
And I'm Kelsey.
Every Monday, we smoke and we talk about true crime, conspiracies, and other freaky shit that is just kind of even freakier if you partake in a little bit of smoky smoke.
And if that sounds like something you'd like, subscribe to the podcast, leave us a rating and a review, please, so other people can find us.
And if you want to hear more of us, you can join us for the smoke breaks on Patreon for only $5 a month.
Follow us on social media at Truly High Crime. I'm Kelsey Paulus.
And I am Kimmy Grace 420. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I have to tell you though, why did I lock my keys inside my dad's house on like Tuesday?
Again. There she is.
Those cops are still coming up like randomly.
It's just a fun curse that we have. So last week, Kelsey locked her keys in her car when she got here. And then we took her back to her house and got her spare key. And then you did it. What day of the week was that? That was on Friday?
Yeah.
So then you did it again on Tuesday?
Yeah. I like went to my dad's and I was like high a little. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. And I just like literally walked out and I was like looking for my keys in my bag. Cause normally I just put them in there. Again, I was just going on instinct. And they weren't in there and I was like, what? I was so mad, and it was like hot outside too, and I was so worried, but thank God my brother was home. Like, he could come rescue me, but it was hot as shit outside. That picture I posted on my Instagram was me waiting on this front porch. I was like, are you kidding me? But whatever.
Especially on like the hottest day of the year.
Yeah, it was really hot that day.
Yeah, it's been disgustingly hot. I can't complain because I like the warmth. Stop complaining. But I mean, I'm glad you got saved. And it's good you have a spare key, because if you didn't, and like I said last week, it's good you had your phone. Because if you didn't and you can't get through my front door, like you would have just been like, what the fuck do I do?
Yeah, seriously. But how are you?
I'm good. I was just I had a thought that I wanted to talk about, and I don't remember what it was. And I told myself I should write it down, and then I didn't, because I was like, oh, you'll remember it. But now I don't. I don't remember. Oh, duh. I remember now. The weed is getting to my brain. Free Britney.
We'll
probably talk about this more on the smoke breaks, but I just want to say it's Free Britney on this podcast. And I was listening to Piece of Me yesterday. I was driving and I was listening to Piece of Me and I was literally crying because I was like, this bitch was like telling us, please leave me the fuck alone. All these years. And she's still going through it. I just want to give her a hug.
Yeah. And like, people are still denying it. Like,
the judge that denied, yeah. Fuck you. And then Bill motherfucking Cosby is out of prison. Excuse me.
I saw that notification. I was like, actually, I think I was like doing an interview for my job and that popped up on my phone. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, are you kidding? That's ridiculous.
It is unreal. Like, I honestly was too pissed to even read why, because mm-hmm. it pissed me off and I don't want to read about it because it made me mad. But it's like, of course.
Yeah.
Like, of course.
Just some stupid shit loophole.
Of course.
The fuck. Like,
yeah, that a rich man can find and then cheat the system and get out. Love it.
Yeah.
So, I'm good. We're talking about a local kind of case to us today. I'm kind of excited. I mean, I'm not excited to talk about it because it sucks that it happened, but we're talking more, we kind of took a little break from like the murdery true crime stories and we are getting back into that today. So this one's a little gruesome. So if you're not in the mood for that, maybe just skip it or wait till later. Just wanted to let y'all know it's going to be a little more gruesome than the last ones have been. We were talking about a serial killer who has never been found, never the answers. Nobody knows who it is. And it was in Cleveland. The Cleveland Torso Killer was active from 1934 to 1938. And he murdered at least 12 people. And only 3 of them were ever identified. Because he was trash, garbage, terrible person. And I assume it was a man. The 30s in Cleveland were like kind of booming. It was right after the Depression. So it was like people were like coming back up, but not like completely there yet. But it was also like Cleveland, Akron, like rubber and, you know, all the shit that gets like thrown at us in middle school that we all forget. In Ohio, we literally learn about rubber.
Like, I give a fuck, seriously.
It was going like pretty well for most people in Cleveland, but there was one area that was like the quote unquote rundown and just like underfunded, underdeveloped area. It was called Kingsbury Run. And it was near the train station. So there was like a lot of people who like came in and out of the area a lot. And then there was also an area where a lot of the houseless people lived, and it was called the, quote, hobo jungle. So we're talking, like, low-income people, people who have never been given opportunities. Like, those are the victims. And that's why they're a lot of the times not identified, because a lot of people aren't looking for them. And I personally think the killer knew that, and that's why they did it. This guy's a piece of shit. So the hobo jungle was close to an area that was called the Roaring Third, which, honestly, I want to look at maps and see where this is, like, in relation to Cleveland now, because I wonder if that's, like, by, because isn't Third, I don't know Cleveland, because I don't really care about it, but isn't that, like, one of the main downtown streets, like, Third, that, I don't know what they're called.
I feel like, yeah, like, I know that in, especially
in Euclid?
Yeah, Euclid, yeah. I know that, but Third sounds, like, right.
Maybe it's the same area. I don't know. Probably not. I probably sound stupid. But that's where, like, all of the bars were. There was a lot of, like, gambling dens. That's where a lot of sex work happened. Like, it was the, like, party area of that area. In September of 1934, the first victim was found when a man found the lower half of a woman's torso that was cut off at her knees, washed up on the shore of Lake Erie. So we're just starting real gross. And so they call the police, and, like, it was a gross scene. Like, they honestly couldn't tell if it was a person or if it was, like, something floating. Like, the body was not in good condition. And the coroner had noticed that there was this, like, chemical preservative on the body that made it, like, red and leathery. Like, yeah. It definitely, like, had been messed with. And then they looked around, and a few other body parts were found, but they never found her head. It was identified to be a woman in her mid-30s, but they never found a name or anything like that. And she is referred to as the Lady of the Lake. And there are people who name their boats Lady of the Lake.
Ew, the fuck?
I know, because I Googled Lady of the Lake just to, like, get some more background info. And a bunch of boats came up. I was like, that's a dead woman.
Yeah.
So weird. Like, just Google things before you choose to name your boat, which is also, yeah, like, a weird concept to me. For so I don't know.
Never go.
In September of 1935, the second and the third victims were found when two teenage boys found a decapitated corpse that was wearing only socks. And they were able to rule that decapitation was the cause of death. And the first body that they found was drained of blood and also had rope burns around its wrists. So they were like, it's got to be somebody who, like, had a place to drain the blood and looks like this person was tied up. Like, this is definitely foul play. But it's also the 30s, so they have no fucking way to investigate anything. Like, there's no DNA. There's no, like, crime scene, really. Like, they don't know. They don't do crime scenes the same way they do now. He was able to be identified as 28-year-old Edward Andrassy, who had an arrest record, and he was also rumored to be gay, which it was the 30s, so not a good thing. And he spent a lot of time in the Roaring Third. So it was, like, disparaged people who spent a lot of time in this area and that were the victims. They found the second body nearby. He was also decapitated, and his penis was cut off. And on his body was the same preservative that was on the Lady of the Lake. So he was also, like, red and leathery. And so that's when they made the connection. It took them, I mean, I guess these are only, like, the second and third victims, but they, oh, I guess I, it was only the second victim, so I guess not, but whatever. They made the connection, like, kind of fast, and they were like, okay, so these are somewhat related, but they still had nothing really to go off of. This victim had been dead for a few weeks, and he was never identified. In January of 1936, the fourth victim was identified when this nosy-ass woman, she was, like, walking down the road, and she saw, like, two bags on the side of the road, and they were, like bushel bags, and, like, I don't know, but she, like, started going through them, like, for some reason. And I don't know if she thought it was going to be like money or like something cool, but it was body parts. Yeah. So not her lucky day. I don't understand why she just went through them though. Like, though, I don't know. Yeah. Just weird to me. So it was a woman's body parts, and everything but her head was recovered in a lot nearby. So they got all of her body except for her head, and the cause of death was also ruled to be decapitation. But this time it was a little bit different because the murderer waited until after rigor mortis set in to dismember the rest of the body. So that's like 2 to 4 hours. So that must mean that whoever killed them must have had somewhere to put a dead body for 2 to 4 hours and then decapitate it.
Yeah, that's odd a little.
Yeah, so they're like, who's doing this? And like, how are they not getting caught if they're actually like spending time? Like, they're not just killing somebody and running away. Like, it seems really thought out and really like meticulous.
Yeah.
It's icky. They were actually able to identify this victim as Florence Palillo, who was a waitress, a barmaid, and a sex worker who lived in the Roaring Third. And they like didn't really get any leads from it. They claim that they investigated, but honestly, the police didn't do a lot with this one because I think because of the area that it was and that it was mostly like sex workers and unidentified people and people who didn't have a lot of people looking for them. Mm. So the police didn't look into it. The killer knew that and he knew he could just keep getting away with it. Mm. Disgusting.
Yeah.
I hate it. I think we're on the fifth victim. I messed my numbers up. But the fifth victim was found in June of 1936 when two boys found a man's head wrapped up in a pair of pants.
Finally a head.
That's a good way of looking at it. But he was also never identified. So they have no idea who's... And they don't know where's the body. Like,
yeah.
where is the rest of this body to this head? Like, what's going on here? And the next day, the police don't find a body, but a body is dumped in front of the police station. Yep.
Oh, my God.
Just literally a dead body in front of the police station. Like, that's bold.
Yeah.
Like, that's... I feel like that's when the person must have known, like, you're on... Like, you're trying to investigate this and you can't find anything. Ha ha. Mm-hmm. Like, you dumb fuckers. Which, like... I agree, they're dumb fuckers, but mm-hmm. stop killing people.
Yeah.
Like, this body was also drained of blood. And then all the reports said that the corpse was intact, but it had no head. So that, doesn't that mean the corpse wasn't intact?
Yeah.
You, like.
I don't know. That's weird.
That's just what I would think, but I'm also not a coroner, so I don't know. This corpse had 6 different tattoos and they were like very distinct and like big, and they were also able to run his fingerprints, but they could not identify him. And so they were like, maybe somebody will recognize his tattoos or something. They really hoped somebody could recognize his tattoos, but he was never identified. And they actually made a mold of his face and like a mold of his tattoos and then put them on display, but there was nothing. Look at that.
Oh.
I wouldn't recognize anybody.
Scary.
I know. Like, yeah. It doesn't look like human. Like, if that was supposed to look like somebody I knew, I wouldn't recognize mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
It's creepy. In July of 1936, the sixth victim was found when a teenage girl found the decapitated body of a 40-year-old man while walking in the woods. And this guy had been dead for about 2 months. And his head... and a pile of bloody clothes were found nearby. So you got the full body this time. Mm-hmm. At least there's that. But the police think that because there was a lot of blood where his body was, they think he was killed where his body was found, or at least near it. And he also wasn't drained of blood, like all of the other victims, or at least most of the other victims were. Mm-hmm. So they weren't 100% sure if this was connected to all of the other killings, but they kind of just assumed it was. Mm-hmm. In September of 1936, somebody was like running to catch a train and they tripped over a man's torso.
What the fuck?
Yes. Just on the road. Like a man's torso just on the road. And like all of my research was like, it's a really dirty area. Like there's trash on the ground everywhere. Like it's mm-hmm. not like a clean place. Like there, it wasn't just like a lone torso in the road. Like yeah. there was other things, but a whole ass fucking torso.
Yeah. Imagine, oh my god, that feeling probably after.
The night terrors he must have had.
Yeah, and the lady with the bags.
Yeah, for real. Like, lady. She was just trying to get some money. disgusting. And there was actually a train near the area, like I said earlier, so it was really windy in the area, so they were like, maybe the wind blew the rest of the body parts, like, down the hill, but the way the city was set up was that if you went down the hill, you ended in a big pool, pretty much, so a lot of shit just get, like, blown into this, like, big pool, but the pool was also described as, quote, nothing more than a big open sewer. Which I don't really know what that means. I don't know if that means, like, people went there to shit, or if that means, like, people's poop flowed there.
Yeah.
Or if it was just, like, really... I have questions. I have no idea. But they wanted to search this pool.
Yeah.
And so somebody had to jump into it. And imagine having to be that cop that day, being like, I don't want to do it. Like, do you want to do it? Like, having to, like, pass it along, probably, like, make the rookie do it. But they didn't make... They actually hired a diver to do it, because none of them wanted to do it. Makes sense. Over 600 people came to watch the dive because, okay, at this time it was in the media. Like, it was, like, pretty much covered, being covered every day by every newspaper. Like, what the hell is going on? Like people are dead. Like, I think at this point, 6 people are dead. And they're like, what's going on? Hello, Cleveland Police, are you doing anything? And the Cleveland Police are like, yeah, we're getting a dive team. Come on, you guys. You know, it was, like, one of those things. But they did, end up finding the lower half of that man's torso and parts of both of his legs. They were able to determine that the victim was in his late 20s and the cause of death was decapitation. And the coroner said that there was a, quote, lack of hesitation marks in the dismembering of the body. So he thought that whoever was doing this had to be medically trained. Like, had to know human anatomy and had to be really familiar with it and have the tools to precisely cut.
Weird.
I don't like that at all. At all. Because that, like, if he is a doctor and now he's just preying on people who are stuck in poverty.
Oh, yeah.
Disgusting. Mm-hmm. Like, disgust. I assume that he's just a gross old white man and I hate him.
Mm-hmm.
This victim was also never identified. And everybody at this point, like I was saying, was like, what the fuck are the police doing? Like, why haven't you found anything? Like, 6 people are dead. Can we get some answers? Can you at least release, like, a profile? Can we get something? And the police were like, maybe. But we'll talk about that after a quick smoke break. All right, so at this point, there are 6 people dead, the police have no fucking suspects, and they have no leads at all. And so local papers were reporting on this daily. They were talking about everything that was happening, like, constantly. Like, it was in the news, and people were talking about it. And people were on high alert. Like, people were nervous, as they should be, because there's a serial killer out there. Like, what's going on? So this is when the murderer got the name of the, quote, Mad Butcher of Kingsbury Run. And then they were also calling him the Cleveland Torso Killer. So now, the recently appointed safety director, Elliot Ness, who is a literal piece of shit, and you will find out why soon, starts to get involved with the case. And he was well-known. He was pretty famous. He took down Al Buck. Blah, blah, blah. He took down Al Capone, yada, yada, whatever. So, like, all the police websites and everything were like, criminals were scared of Elliot Ness. It's like, I really doubt that. Like, I bet they knew who he was and they knew what was going on, but I doubt they were scared of him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He was, like, considered untouchable. Like, he was, like, one of the quote-unquote greats, and it was, yeah, he was, like, put on a pedestal for some weird reason. And so the police, the coroner, Elliot Ness, and then just some other, like, experts come together to make a profile of the killer, which is so Criminal Minds vibes. Do police actually do this? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember, because I've seen, that A&E show, The First 48.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything, like, vividly, because all the episodes are just kind of the same.
Yeah. Do police really racially profile? Mm-hmm. Yes. But do they actually, like, profile, like, how they do in a high level? Okay, they do. I didn't know if it was just a Criminal Minds thing, but okay. So they make a profile of the killer, and they conclude that he is a psychopath, but he's not, like, obviously a psychopath. Like, he's a functioning psychopath, and he is, like, has a regular place in society. They know that he has a knowledge of anatomy, so he's either a, like, physician or a butcher or a hunter, and he is skilled at cutting flesh, which also physician, butcher, butler, mortician, those kinds of jobs. And they also knew that he had to have access to a private space to decapitate and dismember and drain the blood of his victims. So some detectives started working on the case. Their names were Peter Marilow and Martin Zalewski. I think I'm overcomplicating it. I think it's just Zalewski. Cool name. They are on the case now. So they... I got a burp. They... It won't stop. Okay, here we go. They start kind of just, like, going through, like, the Roaring Third area. And they were, like, undercover. Like, they weren't in police uniforms. So they were just, like, newbies to the area, but they were clearly out of place because that's a place where people are dirty and, like, it's not like you're not freshly showered or clean or wearing nice clothes, and they didn't blend in very well. Mm-hmm. They tried. There's, like, pictures of them trying to blend in, but it's like, like, you're wearing a fresh suit with a stick over your shoulder. Like, that's the only thing. So it's like, you know, and they also went on their own time, and they, like, took part in the gambling and all the other illegal activities. So it was like, hey guys, go investigate undercover, but do what you want to do on your own time. Exactly. So the police are the worst. But they interviewed more than 1,500 people while they were undercover. I don't know what classifies as an interview. Like, if they just said something to a guy in a bar, like, hey, you know anything about this? Is that an interview? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. And the police department as a whole interviewed more than 5,000 people. So this actually was the biggest police investigation in Cleveland history, quote unquote, according to the police. And there's still no answers. So, like, how does that one work?
Yeah, what, I don't know, 5,000?
Right, like 5,000 people in Cleveland. I don't know about it. Yeah, it's weird, especially because I've never heard anybody be like, you ever heard of the Cleveland Torso Murders? My grandma knew somebody who was involved or who got interviewed or something. Like, that's the shit that people talk about. Like, never heard it growing up in Northeast Ohio, so it can't be real.
Yeah.
At this time, the coroner was replaced. It was, like, an old Republican man, and he was replaced by a younger Democrat man named Sam Gerber. So there's, like, a fresh person on the case now. So new eyes are always a good thing. But in February of 1937, the seventh victim was found when, again, a man found the upper half of a woman's torso washed up on the shore. She had also been decapitated, but it wasn't the cause of death. This time, she had been decapitated after she was murdered. And then about 3 months later, the lower half of her torso washed up on the shore, and they were able to determine that she was in her mid-20s, but other than that, she was not able to be identified, and they don't know who she was. So, it's just, like, so sad, because it feels, like, this case just literally feels like victim, 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 victim. Like, no answers.
Yeah.
So... sorry about that one, guys. In June of 1937, the eighth victim was found when a teenage boy was, like, under a bridge, and he found a human skull. And then next to the skull, there was, like, a sack, and the police in it found the skeletal remains of a 40-year-old black woman who was identified through dental work as Rose Wallace. And there were a few leads in this case. They like looked around at her family. They tried to find anything, but they got no answers. They went nowhere. So how hard did they try?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah.
I don't know.
I just hate it because they probably weren't doing that much. And they're like, this was the biggest investigation in Cleveland history. But I also, it's like, I don't know what they could have done at this time. Like, I don't know what technological advances had been made at this point.
Yeah.
So, like, how they could investigate, I don't know. But, like, that's for them to figure out and do.
Yeah.
In July of 1937, the ninth victim was found when a National Guardsman saw a piece of the victim in the wake of a boat that they were passing by. And over the next few days, they were able to recover all of the body except for the head out of the Cuyahoga River. The one that caught fire.
Yep.
The abdomen of this body had been gutted and the heart had been ripped out. So there was like a second level of like cruelty to it that the other victims hadn't had. And it was like, what the fuck is going on and why?
That's like very...
it's morbid.
Like, that feels like something out of, like, only you would fucking see in a movie.
It feels like that's Dexter.
Bizarre.
Yeah, it is. It's gross. And there's theories as to why later. In April of 1938, the 10th victim was found because a guy was walking to work. And he was, like, walking along the banks of the river. And he thought he saw a dead fish. It was not a dead fish. It was the lower half of a woman's leg. And a month later, two burlap bags were pulled out of the river that had her torso and most of her legs. And this time, though, drugs were detected in her system for the first time. She was the first victim with drugs in her system. And so the coroner was like, I don't know if this means that she did drugs herself or if she was drugged. But if we can find her arms, we'll be able to know if maybe she injected herself. Or if she, like, was, if she doesn't have injection marks, that means that maybe she was drugged, and then we can figure more out from there. But her arms were never found. So they never got answers, and she was never identified. In August of 1938, the 11th and 12th victims, the last two victims, were found, when scrap collectors were going through like a dump site and they found the torso of a woman wrapped up in a blazer and then wrapped up again in a quilt. So her legs and arms were found in like this makeshift box nearby. And they could tell that the boxes that the body parts were in were made recently. Like it was a fresh new thing. The head was found nearby soon in a similar fashion in a makeshift bag like that. And the coroner said that some of the parts looked like they had been refrigerated. So while they were looking for more pieces, they actually found the remains of another body only a few yards away. And this time they knew that the killer was taunting them because these bodies had been placed in a location that was in plain view out of Elliot Ness's window. Like, if Elliot Ness looked out his window, he could have seen these bodies if he looked hard enough. So, creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
I hate it. Like, he knew who was looking for him and what was going on and everything. And that would be, like, I hate Elliot Ness, and we're about to find out why, but that would be scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be terrifying. Elliot Ness obviously was like, okay, well, now the killer is just taunting me. Like, he is just trying to piss me off. And he got fucking pissed. And so, on August 18th, only 2 days later, piece of shit Elliot Ness does disgusting, unnecessary harm. And at 12:40 a.m., him and 35 cops raided the, quote, hobo jungles of the Run, where all of the homeless people lived. There were 11 squad cars, 2 police vans, 3 fire trucks, and they gathered up 63 men that were living there. And I couldn't find any information about where those 63 men went, so I'm guessing the answer to that would be jail for literally nothing. I hope they were okay, And in the morning, once it was light outside and everybody was out of their house, they searched the area for clues. And then, on orders from Elliot Ness, they burned the entire area down. The entire thing. Are you, like, I'm so mad right now.
Like, there's actually no words.
Like, why? Like, there's literally no fucking reason as to why. Because, like, there's no reason as to, like, to do that, because that didn't fit the profile of who the killer was at all. I understand if they wanted to walk through that area during the day and be like, hey, do you guys know anything about what's happening? Peacefully, like, leave people alone in their homes and be like, are you safe? Do you feel safe here because of what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about what's going on? Like, I just feel like it's not that hard. I really just feel like, why do they fuck it up so bad every single time?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, because I always am like, well, I'm not that profession, but you're right. It's like, it just, like, look. Like, I'm not even look harder, just look.
Yes, and ask people, be nice, be caring, be sentimental. Like, literally just have sympathy and be like, hey, do you feel safe? Because there's a lot of shit going down. Do you need help? And do you know anything about what's going on? Instead of literally forcing everybody out of their homes and then burning it to the ground. Everything that they have.
Yeah, I really don't understand the motive for either of those.
It's fucking sick. I hate this man. I hate him so much. And nothing came from it. Nothing, no. Nothing at all. Nothing came from it. So he did it for literally no fucking reason at all. I hate him. And like I said, like, it didn't even, like, somebody who would be living in that area did not fit the profile at all, because it had to be a physician, a butcher, somebody who had a job and made money and had somewhere to store a body, not somebody who was living in.
Yeah.
Like, I just, why? I just hate him. So, in late 1938, there was a letter sent from L.A. to the Cleveland Press newspaper. Let me take a drink of water, because this is creepy as fuck. This letter, okay, I hate it. From L.A. to Cleveland, said, quote, "You can rest easy now, as I have come to sunny California for the winter. I felt bad for operating on those people, but science must advance. I shall astound the medical profession, a man with only a DC, which means Doctor of Chiropractic. What did their lives mean in comparison to hundreds of sick and disease-twisted bodies? Just laboratory guinea pigs found on any public street. Nobody missed them when I failed. My last case was successful, and I now know the feeling of Pasteur, Thoreau, and other pioneers." I'm sure I said those wrong, but I don't care. "Right now, I have a volunteer who will absolutely prove my theory. They call me mad and a butcher, but the truth will out. I have failed but once. Here, the body has not been found and never will be, but the head, minus its features, is buried on Century Boulevard between Western and Crenshaw. I feel it is my duty to dispose of the bodies as I do. It is God's will to not let them suffer." End quote. A lot to unpack in there.
Yeah.
I hate it all. Investigators and everybody do think it did come from the killer. So, I honestly think it did too. Because, okay, so, like, I felt bad operating on those people, but science must advance. So,
yeah. What does that mean?
Exactly. Like, I have a lot of, like, was he operating on them how? Like, were they not supposed to die? And then they did on accident because he was, quote unquote, operating on them, and that might explain, like, why the heart was out, if he was doing, like, heart transplants or the red leathery thing, whatever the fuck that was.
Yeah.
Like, excuse me? But then he says disgusting things about them, saying they're just laboratory guinea pigs found on any public street. Nobody missed them when I failed. Fuck you.
Yeah, that's foul as fuck.
Like, fuck you. I hate him. And then my last case was successful. So what does that mean? Is there somebody who lived and knows what's going on?
Yeah.
Lots of questions there. And then, right now I have a volunteer who will absolutely prove my theory. A volunteer? That's like the guy who volunteered to get cannibalized. People are so fucked up.
What?
It's like, what, a volunteer who will prove my theory? What is he
meaning?
What is he trying to fix?
Yeah, what is science trying to prove?
What is he trying to advance? It's literally so terrifying. It's disgusting. And then they went to where he said a body or a head was buried, and they didn't find anything. So I don't know if they... I don't know. That's like the one thing that makes me think maybe it wasn't actually the person, but why would they say that?
Yeah.
Because it would give them away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
But also, wait, was where the head was supposed to be, was it in the area that was, like, burned?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because if it was, I'm like, of course it's not there.
Right.
But also, like, the torso in the street, well, maybe I'm, I don't know. If it's on the, I don't know. Maybe I'm making assumptions, but...
It's safe to, yeah, make assumptions because I don't know. So in July of 1939, there was actually an arrest made. But first, we're going to take a quick smoke break.
If you've been wanting to treat yourself to that new piece or bong or whatever you want to say, now's the time.
And we can give you 20% off your entire purchase at isellglass.shop using the offer code TRULYHIGHCRIME at checkout.
They have a wide variety of really cute bongs and smoking accessories.
But of course, these pieces are for legal substances only, and you have to be at least 18 or of legal age to smoke in your area.
So go to isellglass.shop and get 20% off your entire purchase with offer code TRULYHIGHCRIME.
So, we're back. In July of 1939, there was an arrest made. Sheriff Martin O'Donnell arrested 52-year-old Frank Dolezal, hopefully I said that right, for the murder of victim number 3, Flo Palillo. She was the bartender and the sex worker who lived in the Roaring Third. He had lived with her for a while, and he also had a connection to two of the other victims, the other two who were identified, Rose Wallace and Edward Andrassy. But his confession was very clearly rehearsed. Like, there were a lot of holes in it. Some parts he, like, could say very clearly, very quickly, and then some parts he would stammer through. It was just, like, a mix of incoherent ramblings and then very precise details.
Mm-hmm.
And then, ironically, he was found dead in his cell before he could go to trial. And the thing about it is that he had 6 broken ribs that he did not have before he was in police custody. And he was also found hanging from a hook that was 5 feet 7 inches from the ground. And he was 5 feet 8 inches tall. So math, I'm not good at, but that doesn't check out for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't check out for anybody. And I do remember seeing something about how he has been, like, honored from beyond the grave, of like they've like paid their respects back in some sort of way, and like he's cleared as a suspect and everything, whatever, but it's also like you killed him.
Yeah, we don't care now.
Yeah, like you killed a man, so maybe don't do that. And like I once again feel like it's not that hard,
like, to not do that.
It's really not. Like, I just, maybe that's an unpopular opinion. Like, maybe that's just us. That could be the case. I don't think so.
Why kill him?
Exactly. Because most people think that he just wanted to make an arrest. Like, that the cop just had a big head and he wanted to be the one who made an arrest in the case and, like, solved the case and had the answers. Which it's like, okay, everybody wants to be that guy. Like, everybody wants to solve the case. So you should work to solve the case instead of just arresting some random guy and then forcing him into confessing and giving him a confession. I mean, it's the classic way that cops like feed people confessions by saying, oh, did this happen? Did this happen? Did this happen? And them getting stammering and like stammering over their words and not knowing what to say and being like, oh yeah, I don't remember. And then getting coerced into confessing into something they didn't do. Like, it happens every day. It's so fucking shitty. And he probably couldn't afford a lawyer or didn't know he had the right to a lawyer, so he just didn't know what to do, and they also trap you in that, like, room, and will just keep talking to you, and it's like, he had no options, and his, yeah, it's so unfortunate. So, years after the murders stopped, Elliot Ness started receiving postcards from like, just random people saying that they were the murderer, and they were, like, taunting him. Like, he would be like, haha, like, the postcards would be like, haha, you didn't solve my case, bitch, lol.
Why is there always, like, people doing, like, why do people always want to do that? Like, but, like, I feel like I'm just, like, reminded of, like, the Zodiac Killer always.
Yeah, just insert themselves, like, yeah. Have you ever heard of the guy who, like, swore that his dad was a Zodiac Killer and he, like, there's a whole documentary about it and everything?
Yes.
Yeah. No, sir. Your dad is not the Zodiac Killer. It's like, yeah. So they don't know if it was actually the killer. Like, they were like, maybe some of them were, but then I think people found out, or maybe that happened and then just kept sending him more, but it was just, like, annoying. Like, shitty either way for everybody involved, but, like, fuck Elliot Ness. So some of the suspects, this guy got a funny-ass pseudonym. Did I say that right?
Pseudonym? Maybe, yeah.
Okay, it's like his fake name?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, thanks. It was Gaylord Sunheim. Hold on, let me translate what that means again. I don't remember. Just tell me what Sunheim means. I need to know. Because Gaylord is, like, pretty clear. But Sunheim, I don't know. Okay, that's going to piss me off, but whatever. His pseudonym was Gaylord Sunheim. And 20 years after the investigation is when Elliot Ness decided to bring this up for some reason. Hmm. 20 years later, he was telling his biographer that he got during his book deal that his team was suspicious of this person for the longest time, but they didn't want to actually identify him, like, give his actual name, because they weren't 100% sure. They said that they gave this guy a lie detector test and he failed. But they had no other evidence on him, so they had to let him go. And, like, fuck lie detector tests.
Yeah.
But they still wouldn't say who it was. So people started speculating, and some people think it was a man named Dr. Francis Edward Sweeney, who grew up in Kingsbury Run, but then went to med school. And he sustained a head injury during World War I that people speculate could have pushed him towards psychosis. After that, he became an alcoholic, and he was abusive towards his wife, and he was admitted to, like, a home. And so he also lived in the area of Kingsbury Run during the span of all of the murders, and he was, like, in and out of the institution. Like, he would institutionalize himself between the murders and then lay low for a while. And so the police were like, that's just kind of odd, and, like, people were, like, really speculating that it was him because it just lined up. And he's also believed to be the person who sent Elliot Ness postcards. I don't know how, like, I think they might have done, like, a handwriting thing. Mm-hmm. But Elliot Ness went to his deathbed swearing that this Gaylord Sunheim was the killer. So it is just pure speculation if that was Dr. Sweeney, but a lot of people think that's who it was talking about. Mm-hmm. But they didn't want to name him either because he was the son of a politician, a local politician. And you know how that shit goes.
Of course, again.
I was just always watching Parks and Rec. I know we talk about Parks and Rec all the time. But the episodes where April and Ben are in D.C. working for the congressman who's, like, a robot.
Yeah.
It's so fucking funny to me. Oh, I don't know why. And they're like, cool beans. Like, they, like, make fun of him. It's just, like, so funny. Like, I can even do the robot speak, but that's, whenever I think of politicians, that's just how I imagine all of them now. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it would make sense that he would protect his family. Yeah. God, I fucking hate it. A lot of people also have speculated that the Cleveland Torso Killer could have a connection to the Black Dahlia murder. Have you ever heard of it?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so she was an actress. Her name was Elizabeth Short, and she was an actress, like, an up-and-coming actress who had just moved to L.A. And she was, like, struggling a little, but she was, like, this beautiful woman, and she was murdered in a very similar fashion. Her torso was found, and that's it. And, like, she was, like, cut in half a lot, like, the way the Cleveland torso killers or murders were. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have speculated. So she was also cut at the torso, drained of blood, just, like, had made an, the killer had made an effort to clean her off, and there were rope marks on her body that were similar to the other ones. And this happened in California, and in the letter that the killer sent to the Cleveland police, he said he went to sunny California.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, you know, a little bit of that. There are some theories. Most people believe that the killer was Dr. Francis Sweeney, but Elliot Ness, like I said, like, never said that name. It was just based on speculation. And Dr. Sweeney actually admitted himself to the mental institution right after the last killing. And he was also free to leave whenever he wanted. So if he would admit himself right after a murder, he could kill somebody and then go to the institution and stay there for 2 or 3 weeks till it blows by. And they're like, I don't know. And, like, there's not really any leads, and then leave.
Yeah.
And just
keep going.
Keep doing it.
Yeah.
A lot of, yeah, I just said that. I honestly, I don't know who I think did it. I think it was probably him. Like, that makes sense. But I honestly have no idea. Like, yeah. I don't know.
That's where I stand. I'm like, if it were someone we know, it would be him. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Me either. And I honestly didn't see that many other theories, like, out there. Like, there, it was really just, like, Sweeney and, like, ways that Sweeney was and wasn't connected to it. So it was like, who did it? We don't know.
Yay, Cleveland.
Yeah, for real. For real. I want to know if other people have theories on this. Like, tell us. Mm-hmm. Send them in. Instagram, DM us, because I want to know, because, like, it's freaky. Like, who did that? And, like, when did they die? Who were they? Like, did they go to California? Did they stay in Ohio? Did they kill other people that, like, they just didn't connect because they were somewhere else? Like,
yeah.
It's freaky shit. I don't like it. Creeps me out. So, yeah, we're still just stuck trying to figure out who the fuck the Cleveland Torso Killer was. Let us know what you think, and follow us on social media. Do all the things, you know, subscribe, rating, review, Patreon, all of it. You know, we'll be back next week. We'll see you then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hey, smokers. So, contrary to what Kelsey and I just said, we're actually not going to be here next week, or the week after that, or maybe even the week after that. We are taking at least the rest of July off because we're both moving and we both have jobs and we're both just doing a bunch of shit right now. So we figured, let's pause until we can make the best shit we can make. So we'll be back. Keep up with us on social media at Truly High Crime just to see when we'll be back. Thanks for understanding. This is not our full-time job. So if it were, we would not be doing this, but we got bills to pay. We got mouths to feed, as they say. And those mouths are ours. But anyway, thanks. Okay, bye.